even if, let's say some of it is productive for a tad period of time, it's still open space. There are some of the lower incomes, and as I understand this, I haven't had a chance to review all your amendments, but there's still the question of, for example, certain cattle transfers and purchases. A lot of people are cattle traders in this type of small operation. They're not going to make that income test, and they're just going to go back right, and I think we're in a pot of trouble, but yeah, that's the point Senator Hurd is trying to make, and I, we are. Go ahead.
Yeah, one more question, and we'll let the witnesses finish the testimony.
I thought that at this point we are dealing with only one question, and that is, when can you build a home in an EFU zone? And I think the introduction of the other question now, of how you tax it, we ought to leave that to the taxing question. Because there, the question is, what is the taxation on some property in an EFU zone? Shall it be as it is today, that in effect nearly any property in the EFU zone is taxed on that basis, whether it's farmed or not? And that's a different question. So I'd like to restrict it to the question of location, building of homes in EFU.
I just won't ask any more questions. I'll leave it here.
And I just want to say
that I didn't open it up, but frankly, you were scattering it back and forth.
No, we didn't talk about taxation.
You didn't hear that?
There is a proposal here for determining whether a home is indeed a farm-related home or not. And the determination and the suggestion there are two suggestions. One is to determine that by whether or not the individual who proposes to build a home has a plan for farming it. And the other proposal is one to let him prove that he's using it for farm purpose by producing some sort of a gross income by it. And I just want to say, and I'm kind of reacting to Senator Hurd's comment that we ought to let the farmer do what he wants to.
No, I didn't say that. I said let the farmer farm.
All right, let the farmer farm. The question here is to determine, is the guy who's building that home out there doing it for the purpose of farming or for some other purpose? And that's all. I don't think there's any intention here to keep a farmer from having a home on his farm. The question was, if he says, I'm farming and I'm going to farm in that quarter acre behind my home, we have a question whether or not that is indeed a farm-related home. And that it's a problem then to try to define, as we've seen here, how many acres or how productive it does it have to be before you could say that that home was really built out there in the EFU zone for farm purposes. And it seems to me that that's all we're trying to do, is to see if there's some objective measure to say, when can I build a home in an EFU zone?
Ms. Sage.
I'll conclude here. Non-farm dwellings, at least in Jackson County, fulfill an enormously valuable tool for channeling development into areas where it ought to happen as opposed to areas where it ought not to happen. I would urge you, be, from my point of view, disastrous if Jackson County were to lose our opportunity to have non-farm dwellings. And I urge you to give us that, allow us that flexibility.
You're talking about in EFU zones?
In EFU zones.
Does that include subdivisions?
What do you mean subdivision? I mean, a group of four non-farm dwellings?
Greater than three is defined as a subdivision. Are subdivisions of sufficient value to ease pressures to allow them in EFU zones?
We allow subdivisions in the sense that we're dividing a 300-acre parcel into three 100s, or should we say four 100s, if it met the test of the goals, and my guess is it would almost certainly not, and so we would deny it. Not because it's a subdivision or not a subdivision, but because it would be a proposed division of a piece of agricultural land of, say, 400 acres into four parcels, presumably, which would diminish the productive value. So we deny it on the basis of the goals.
Well, that's what gets us nervous when counties start looking at EFU zones, even considering EFU zones for subdivisions.
Well, that's not what we're trying to I guess I'm a tiny bit confused of how this relates to subdivision, since subdivision means a division of a proposal to cut a piece of land into four parcels or more, and frankly, we haven't allowed one in 2.5 years, and unless it was a 2,000-acre farm being proposed for division into 400 or 500s, I don't know how they could make the, I don't know how we could make the findings, and so I guess I don't see that as the issue here.
Simply doesn't come up. We probably don't review three subdivisions on any kind of land in incorporated areas of Jackson County in a given year.
Put your name on the tape, sir.
I'm sorry, Kerry Lay.
Thank you.
I suppose what pressed my button is when you're talking about relieving population pressures by allowing dwellings in an EFU zone.
I guess what I'm really saying...
Non-farm dwellings in an EFU zone.
I guess I'm really saying in an area with the geography of Jackson County, there is a whole lot of wasteland in an area that is naturally and inevitably and appropriately zoned EFU. Within some limits, with the density of, let us say, one dwelling for every 40 acres in ranch area, where it is appropriately sited, and I would cite the fourth example here as a good such case, in my judgment, that is harmless. In fact, it's actually good because it tells that developer or the owner of this piece of land who may want to, I mean, the stories, they, you know, they say, my daughter wants to live on the place, so we came in here, we want to cut this thing in two, and I'll keep half and we'll give my daughter half. And you say, sorry, you can't do that. However, wouldn't your daughter really rather have a dwelling up there on the knoll? Well, sure, that's where she wanted to put the house anyway. Great. Come back to us with a non-farm dwelling application and we'll look at it. That's the way it happens in the real world. In the real, and it gives an opportunity for Mr. Smith to allow his daughter to build on the place without cutting the farm in two.
To Senator Cohen.
Okay. Senator Cohen.
You have air pollution problems in that county.
Yes.
And the further you scatter the people who are non-farmers, who travel to work, isn't that compounding your problem?
Senator, we fight on one issue at a time.
No, because that is exactly the issue we face in Clackamas County and every other county when we start splitting it. We had here in Hubbard, and it didn't happen to be Class 6 or Class 4, it was Class 1 and 2 land that they had carved out a little building site over here or over there, and it was closer in, but we had the same kind of problem, and we dealt with it in the same kind of way. And it does, it is a problem in terms of extending services and extending roads and pollution problems, and that is the very problem we're talking about and we're concerned about here.
Senator, I've spent the last 2.5 years as a county commissioner fighting in many respects on the same sides you're talking about here. My wife works for the Oregon Lung Association. We're taking plenty of heat, let me tell you, down in Jackson County for wanting to support INM. I'll show you my inbox someday if you don't believe me. We spent the other biggest issue we've got a lot of heat on is fighting with the Bear Creek Valley Sanitary Authority over service extensions. And so I can assure you I'm sympathetic in that area. However, let me also tell you, as a trying to be a reasonable man, we've got Mr. Smith here who wants his daughter to live on the place, and if you don't give him some options, okay, it's a pretty good option. It works out pretty well.
As long as you don't violate the bottom zoning line, you're saying.
That's right. A final comment here then on what the test might be. I'm really concerned about a $20,000 test. For much of the land that is Class 4 land, it is hopelessly high. I much prefer trying to channel people into placing their farm dwelling where its impact will be least by means of a management plan in which if you're working it out as part of a management plan, at least you can tell the person, I'm sorry, you can't stick your house back there in the middle of your property, you got to put it up here on the road, or else we can't approve the management plan. You have a fair amount of leverage at that point. I think a $20,000 test is hopelessly high. A person might well be an honest-to-goodness, mostly full-time farmer, really putting his elbow to the plow or his shoulder to the wheel, however we want to make the metaphor, with that farmland, and not be able to make the $20,000 test. The final comment, I believe I am a good and faithful supporter of reasonable land use planning, but you folks have got to ease up a little.
Thanks, Chair.
Chairman.
Senator Day.
I think he's done pretty well. I've worked him over pretty hard, and I appreciate you coming up. I know it's any fun to stand down there in the trenches and take the shotgun GK. I'm sure it's no fun. I'm just wondering, you know, when you talk about putting land in EFU zoning, if we shouldn't approach it from the standpoint that you actually use an exception process, it would allow you some fact-finding on case-by-case basis. Because too frequently, if we approach it with a painting and we say it's going to fit, it hasn't fit with the classification of the soil, well, we know that there's no problems to that. LCDC wrote exceptions in, and LUBA, of course, did not affect Loudon, really, if they've been contested. That if we set some criteria for an exception process in those areas, okay, that's where you can find, because the exception process, we had this measurement that we're speaking about in Lynn County. And my trouble with that is it was predicated upon whether the farm was feasible or not, or produced or not. It didn't really speak, I don't think, to public facilities like I think some thought it did. I didn't see that. But that would be the type of criteria you'd use on a case-by-case basis as it came to you. Now, I agree with you. I think we have to be rational enough to ease up where there's some practical application. I'm not sure that I want you to determine whether the guy's farmer isn't farming. If he's in the EFU zone and he's there, I'd assume leave the income test alone and not touch that and deal more with areas that maybe lands that simply don't fit that criteria, or they could be class 4 soils or 3 soils that just simply are never going to make it because of a number of reasons. But you have some findings along that line and justify it on a case-by-case basis. Now, I just ask, is that so more practical to you?
Ever so much more practical. At least that way, somebody who may eventually have to defend his decision in court, by the way, that's ultimately it's the finest test around, although kind of an expensive club if people appeal you. Whether you divide a piece of farmland, or for that matter, allow the siting of a non-farm dwelling or a farm dwelling, if you can't make the findings for specific criteria, then go to court over it. At least it allows a kind of sense of reason.
See, what bothers, I think, a lot of us is we know partitioning is going on without proper review. We know that after the partition and the land has been sold, someone comes and says, hey, I need a permit, I need to go. County commissioners are under the gun because it's sometimes been done without proper knowledge. And we also know that there are subdivisions in rural areas that are just miserable to deal with. I'm sure you have them. We surely have them here in Marion County. And how are we going to service them? And I guess I'm saying is that if we can develop, I would think, some criteria for an exception process that you would deal with on a case-by-case basis, because you build some cases that would allow you, and the courts would allow you, providing you met a test of some nature. I would think that would fit your bill better than the big picture.
But not a simple dollar test.
No.
If 20 acres of bottom land, making a $20,000 or 19 acres, making a $20,000 test might not be all that difficult. 13 acres of class 4 ground that is zoned EFU, but it's not really very farmable. It is utterly hopeless. Thank you very much.
Senator Cohen?
Yeah, I'm still serious in hearing, you know, having you respond to us specifically on some of that. Yeah, and especially if we're going to talk about the test question. If there's any way in your mind that you can also judge that test on how you can judge you're doing on the cumulative effects, not just on, you know, the whole, are you backing up into a need for services? Are you backing into a situation where there's going to be created a demand for certain things? You don't need to answer me now because I know the chairman is there, but I'm looking for a couple key words which, when you're thinking about that, consider how you can approach it in a cumulative way and evaluate things in the stacking up way.
I appreciate that problem. At some point, a density standard of no more non-farm dwellings than one per 40 acres in ranch land or one per 20 acres perhaps within a mile of an urban growth boundary might be a kind of informal standard. At this point, I think we're 5 or 8 years before we need to start. The rural areas are sufficiently rural. I don't think that is something the Board of Commissioners of Jackson County 1983 is going to have to worry about, although I agree that the application of our plan over the course of a decade, those issues start to be more important. Ultimately, I'd say that if you have more non-farm dwellings than one per 40 acres, you are probably at the saturation point in grazing land, even when properly sited.
That's the kind of information that would be helpful to either visit with you by phone after you've had some thoughts on it. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, just one thing.
Okay. We just want to remind the committee we have 10 more witnesses after Mr.
But it doesn't do us any good to listen to witnesses if we can't really understand.
That's true. And all I'm saying is I don't want the committee to evaporate at 7.
Okay.
Thank you.
The instances you gave here, we were talking not about non-farm dwellings. We were talking about farm dwellings.
I understand.
And all of the examples you gave here were non-farm dwellings, were they not?
Yes.
So therefore, all the discussion about the test of value of the crops and so on had nothing to do with these These were non-farm dwellings.
Senator, forgive me. I brought 4 maps here of non-farm dwellings because, frankly, the most key issue I'm concerned about is keeping non-farm option open in Jackson County.
Essentially, then, you do not believe that in this plan that non-farm dwellings should be prohibited. You're trying to suggest that non-farm dwellings, it ought to be possible by an exception process to site those any place that a county commission might want to.
I would say a county commission that, shall we say, a county commission who stands the chance of having their decisions at any time reviewed by a court of law. I'm not going to speak.
But if there weren't any law prohibiting the location of non-farm dwellings, then there's no basis for it.
No, you have to. We deny non-farm dwelling applications. They don't meet 213, 243. If they don't meet the test of being compatible with the farm area, they cannot interfere with farm practices. They have to be placed on generally unsuitable land, and they cannot deteriorate or disturb the stability of the land use pattern. Frankly, the problem with case 1 and 2 is didn't meet those tests. The nice thing, in my judgment, about 3 and 4 is they did. And we got into farm dwellings because we're talking about this window from, let us say, a 5-acre parcel, which is perhaps small enough to squeeze by as a big non-farm parcel, up to 20 acres, which, as I recall, is the bottom. There's that 5 to 20 area that's kind of a mini farm. It's probably not going to be much of a real farm, but it may be an existing parcel. The Board of Commissioners would never create a new parcel like that, or at least I don't believe this board would be very likely to. But there are existing 14-acre parcels around. And the question is, does a person have a right to build a farm dwelling on it? My own sense is, if it is placed appropriately with some kind of management test and with some kind of standards as suggested by Senator Day here to make an exception and findings to prove certain things, then I think there could be a consistent application of allowing or not allowing farm dwellings on that imaginary 14-acre parcel. I can imagine approving them or denying them depending on the facts of the case.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stage. I know that you have always been a supporter of the land use planning process, and I think your perspective from the county commission standpoint is one that's very valuable to the community. Appreciate you coming up. Mr. Carey?
Well, gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we've wandered a little far here, so I hope that some of what is contained in this more formal statement, which I will be reading for the board, isn't altogether redundant. If it is, I apologize, but I think it'd be easier just to read through it quickly than to try to kind of sort it out. Jackson County endorses the marginal lands concept contained in Senate Bill 237. In fact, our recently acknowledged comprehensive plan and land development ordinance contains an open space reserve plan zoning designation, which is very similar to SB 237's definition of marginal lands. Open space reserve lands are recognized by Jackson County as farm, forest, transitional, resource lands, which are composed of generally poor soil capability class ratings, and which are not needed for or committed to non-resource use, yet are generally suited to intensive land development patterns. Much of our open space reserve lands have relatively few commercial tree species, are predominantly brush-covered, and seldom specially assessed. Open space reserve lands are also designated in non-forest areas to protect marginal agricultural activities. Since statewide planning goals and Oregon administrative rules currently do not directly address marginal lands, our open space reserve zone was developed to be a goal-complying, non-commercial resource zone with standards for non-resource uses derived from 215-213. As we view it, the major distinction between our open space reserve zone and the marginal lands legislation is that the latter is a derivative of Goal 3, whereas our OSR zone is forest-oriented, principally because we wanted to avoid the more restrictive existing commercial agricultural land division standards in 215. In fact, we would have liked authority to apply the OS zone to certain agricultural soils nominally rated Class 4, which are not part of an existing commercial farm operation or needed to protect such operations. In short, we cannot support application of commercial standards to non-commercial lands. While we are able to support many of the provisions of SB 237, we must oppose those sections in the bill which, if passed as written, are more restrictive than our open space reserve designation, would limit the flexibility contained in our acknowledged plan and ordinance, or would require the county to adopt a redundant hearing panel. This is not the time to limit our options. Rather, we believe it is a time that we be able to distinguish between commercial and non-commercial resource lands. Our comments on the April 14th draft are as follows, and I understand perhaps it's been redrafted since, in addition to your amendments today. Under the definition of marginal lands, we endorse the concept of marginal lands because it would provide us greater flexibility, particularly for highly partitioned areas, which by virtue of their soil type were zoned EFU. The planned zone designation authorized by the bill can be supported provided certain changes are made. First of all, Jackson County must be able to utilize the variable density provision of its OSR zone that allow 10-acre divisions under certain circumstances. We believe 10-acre parcel sizes can be sufficient to protect adjacent resource lands. Marginal lands should be treated in a more generic sense. We do not believe that the derivation of the zone or the uses must necessarily fit under Goal 3. SB 237 seems to recognize that fact in that the definition of marginal lands cuts across both 3 and 4. As a practical matter, the low-density provisions of our OSR zone, coupled with siting standards, deed declarations, wildfire safety requirements, and special setbacks for residences and additional review standards for conditional uses, all provide adequate protection for any adjacent or nearby commercial, agricultural, or forest uses. As written, SB 237 is more restrictive than our acknowledged open space reserve zone. Specifically, the 20-acre density standards apparently specified in lines 3 and 4 of page 3 would be made more flexible to allow our OSR zone to comply with SB 237's definition of marginal land. SB 237 must clearly state that marginal lands are considered non-commercial resource land subject to Goal 2 exception standards. We believe the intent of this legislation should be to provide non-commercial division standards of lands, or rather for lands, which otherwise would have to be zoned exclusive farm use or forest use. A marginal land zone should not become only a holding pattern for suburban residential development. Similarly, the marginal lands definition should not apply to primary forest use areas and zones. High quality or poor forest soils in southern Oregon are extensively mixed in upper elevation areas. application of the marginal lands definition would disrupt the primary land use patterns. These exclusions should be explicitly stated in the definition. Certain class 4 agricultural soils should also be considered under the marginal lands definition where the lands are not part of an existing commercial farm operation or needed to permit farming on adjacent lands. There are a limited number of soil types in Jackson County which are technically rated as class 4 but are not nor have they historically been a contributing productive part of commercial agriculture in the county. These soils are typically characterized by heavy clay properties or steep slopes. Irrigation is not often available and does not alter the soil capability ratings. Our credibility has been strained by inclusion of these lands in our exclusive farm use zone. The phrase, and this is quoted from the bill, which was not a contributing part of a farm operation in the perhaps that's what you talked about earlier. And the definition should be deleted. It would be impossible to administer because it would be very difficult to determine whether or not a given part of a land holding is or is not a contributing part of a farm operation. For example, many ranching operations utilize short-term grazing or marginal lands as part of their overall operation. The use of temporary mobile homes for hardship cases, I'm going to skip that. I think that was pretty well discussed earlier. I think I won't cover the part about the 20,000 gross sale, except that staff-wise we have a considerable concern as how we would go about determining that those figures are adequately documented and whether or not the documentation is legitimate. There are several changes proposed in the list of allowable uses within an exclusive farm zone. Of these changes, we are most concerned with the treatment of dwellings. One very obvious effect of the legislation of past is that Western Oregon counties would no longer approve non-farm dwellings as currently provided by statute. Again, we feel, I'll just summarize, we feel very strongly that non-farm dwellings should be provided for in Southern Oregon. We feel it's at least similar to Eastern Oregon if you're not going to provide that opportunity to the entire state. I'm trying to skip some of this that's already been covered. Okay. Requirement of the farmer panel is hearings officer.
Okay, we deleted that.
We did?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See,
marvelous.
See the potent effect your testimony's had on us?
I think that's... pardon me.
I was just commenting on the powerful argument you made on the farmer's panel. Just that rascal right out of there.
Well... So not to go on, I think I'll conclude there. We did provide a copy of our open space reserve zone for your consideration so you can compare it with the legislation and as far as those arguments are concerned.
Well, this is really excellent testimony. This is the kind of specificity that's very helpful to us. It's a lot better. A lot of the testimony has been just essentially negative, and this is very constructive. Points out the problems that you have with it and also in many cases proposes some compromise positions, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Other questions? Do you have anything else to say, Mr. Sage?
Not at all. I was amazed that I had so much of your time. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
I, too, appreciate the time.
Well, you live with it. We ought to give it to you.
Yeah. All right.
Paul Kirsch.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Paul Kirsch. I'm a full-time farmer from Marion County. I am here representing Oregon Farm Bureau Federation to testify on the churches, schools, and golf courses, but I won't. Apparently, that's out the window. So, I guess what I have to say now is, on my own personal opinion, and not necessarily reflecting Farm Bureau, although I think a lot of it agrees with what Farm Bureau feels. What I see in our area is that we have a real serious problem right now with existing parcels that are were set off years ago and that are still around, and that you get these parcels, they're pockets in a farm zone, and they're scattered out, and they do cause problems. They're generally on almost always on real good soil, especially the homes. The homes that were built years ago were seemed like always put on good soil. These parcels are also generally pretty small, and in my opinion, there's no way that farmers can afford to buy these small parcels if there's 2 and 3 acres they're selling for.